Yeah, hello, welcome to Friday. It was a big one in the studio, Marty. You were mending some fences, weren't you, mate?
Oh, James O'Connor, let's just let that go, okay? James and O'Connor and I came together and we're both more mature people.
I loved all of that from you. You got nervouser and nervouser and nervouser, if even that's a word.
I forget that you read body language.
And then you started to be really conciliatory until he left the studio. But anyway...
Did you see when he touched me just under the ribs? He said, working out, Marty.
Oh, how wrong he was.
Excuse me.
Excuse you.
I did some sit-ups the other day.
Wow.
Hey, Paleo Pete made a call in.
Funniest call I think I have heard this year. Oh, my Lord.
He's
so
not a
funny.
Real character.
What?
It's not really Pete.
No, really?
No.
Oh. Peek behind the curtain there. And it took some great calls on where have you been stuck?
Unfortunately, most people, it was in the toilet. Incredible.
You enjoy the catch-up. We'll catch you on Monday at 104.5, the new Triple M. That's the frequency there if you want to listen.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
The Brisbane Rugby Global 10s in town this weekend. In the studio with us, former Red and current Toulon player, James O'Connor. But Marto, it is the first time in more than a year you've had a chat to James.
It was 18 months ago. How do you feel about the whole thing? Like, it went on. I was asked by people here, stop bullying. Stop. I said, I'm not bullying. He's a big boy. He's having a go. You were having a go at social media. I was having a go back. Are you all right with everything?
Yeah, look, it is what it is. I thought at the time it was a little bit difficult, but it's in the past, man.
Why did I say it's in the past?
Well, I was sort of, I was at the stage of leaving the Reds, so there was already a fair bit of pressure on me and things that were said that weren't exactly true. When a man's down, it's hard when you're getting kicked in the ribs.
Oh, Marto.
That's all right. I'm just a grumpy old man. That's what my wife said, and I'm
We've
not going
We've both matured,
to...
but haven't we?
We have both matured. I like to see... Now, that's what I wanted from you. Do you remember? I said at the time, I don't ever want to see you waste your talent. That was my best thing.
Yeah,
Are you ever coming back?
Yeah, well, I want to come back, so...
Good.
It's not my... Well, it is my decision, but we'll wait and we'll see after the 10, see how I go.
Got to play.
My rugby
you want to play in a World Cup.
Exactly.
You were disappointed in 2015. I missed out on the 91 World Cup. I got booted out just before they went on to win the World Cup. I knew the feeling. Sitting here was a bugger of a thing watching your mates all playing over in a World Cup, correct?
Oh, yeah.
We are back, and James O'Connor is still in the studio, and he and Marto have got along so well they've started speaking like each other. A little bit of
French
locker room talk went to air, and that's okay. James has it. This is probably why it's best for James to communicate through social media rather than the live airwaves.
Possibly. I haven't done any media in about 2 years. So.
Hey, listen. We did want to ask about Toulon. Now, Ben Barber, not going to play rugby league, going there, we all go, what's it going to be like? I suggest that it's going to be bloody tough because you've got to perform straight away, correct?
Yeah. There's sort of two ways to look at it, I guess. We went to a lunch yesterday with Steve Meehan and Chris Latham, and we had a little open conversation about that. I personally think he's got great skill. I think if anyone's going to do it from league, he could be in that path to be able to become, you know, like the Sonny Bill Williams. He's got great skill set. I think the tough thing is going to be moving your family over there. It's pretty, it's tough. Even for me to move over, it was pretty difficult. No one speaks English. You have to adapt pretty quickly.
Are you married?
No, I'm... I've got a girlfriend and we're close.
Oh, there you go. But did she go with you?
Yeah, so she lives in France with me now, but she's back home. She's a Brisbane girl.
So Ben Barber's got to take four little kids and his wife, and he's under the pressure. That owner at Toulon, I was trying to tell Ed the other day, he's a little bit...
I read an article about him. Sorry,
well, I don't want to say mad.
I'll say eccentric. That's what I'll go with, because he's made a lot of money in comic books in Europe through Marvel, and he owns this team. And when the article I was reading, James, it was saying how he'll go to the press himself. If he's not happy with a player, he'll go to the press and criticise him, and sometimes he'll just sack people and get rid of them because he didn't like one game that they played.
That's what he did with Quad Cooper.
Is that right?
That's what he did with Quad.
Yeah. Yeah, from the boxing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys.
Yes, Robin, do you want to focus on...
I just want to check, and I've been, you know, intriguingly watching as you guys do this. Marty, you were quite nervous. Your voice is getting quite tight.
Yeah, I don't like being mean to people, especially when they're in front of me.
So you guys are now cool?
I
got to commentate
sweet.
Him on the weekend, and no fear, no favour. Yeah.
Do you think Kathy Awath will be proud of you?
I don't know or care.
I've been watching this young fella since he was 16 years of age.
And a couple of years ago, I was disappointed in something and I pushed. It's all behind me. Yeah. God, when you can't look backwards, and that's how I approach this today, and I don't give a stuff. Good to see you.
Yeah, like
and
that.
James, you're okay too?
Yeah, it's all good. Well, if it wasn't, I wouldn't have come in, to be honest. I knew.
Good stuff.
There you go. Well done.
I had my ideas about Marta anyway. I thought, of course, you can check.
Yeah.
Oh, this is pleasant. I love this.
Anyone want to ask any more questions? Oh, no.
He brought in five doubles.
Did he?
Yeah, we've got five doubles. Yeah, rugby tens. It's happening this weekend. Go and see James in Toulon colours. We'd like you in reds, but we'll watch you for Toulon, brother. 133353 right now. It's tomorrow and Sunday at Suncorp Stadium.
We could run a counselling session in here. Bring everyone back here.
Thanks for coming in, brother. Big of you.
No, pleasure, guys.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this just for you for listening right now. Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
You know how we sit here in the morning, we can see the television, but we can't hear what's going on. You know that excavator dude that was on yesterday morning?
How cool was he?
He just had his nose above water and we're going, wonder what happened there? Wonder what happened? Did you see? It was from Forster. He's, if anyone does know the story, he was doing just tidying up around his own place, like I'd say cleaning up all weeds or bulrushes or whatever he was up to. And it's just the mud got soft on the edge of the dam, it's leaned in, it's leaned over, and then it's tipped. All right, and this is why he was trapped.
Didn't have time to jump clear. I hit the water, went under. The next thing I feel is the roll bar come across my back, and I'm completely underwater.
He used his arms as struts to hold his head above water as though he was doing a push-up that lasted for more than 2 hours.
Only his nose above water. And that's the bit that we were watching going, how did this bloke... Apparently he yelled out to his neighbour. Somehow he was able to just get his mouth. So his mouth submerged. Terrifying. Trap. That roll bar is there to save you if there is an issue like this. But in this occasion, it trapped him. And did you see, he was there for 2 hours in the push-up position because the water wasn't too deep, but he just couldn't get out. Then, because it was mud in the dam, the excavator started sinking, which took him deeper. Oh. So at the start, he did have his mouth out, and then it was just his nose. And I did like this simply because I've got a surfer in the family. And
been surfing a lot of years, been in a lot of quite hairy situations in the water, so I just kind of thought to that, just stay calm, you've got to stay calm.
If you've been hit and you stay under a while, this he stayed calm. It was amazing. Stuck and finally got out. And you know the brilliant bit? The first people on the scene... They had a pump on them and they drained the water. I just thought, sensible man or whoever it was, man or woman, turned up and realised, I know how to fix this. I know how to save him immediately. Then we'll work out the rest of the stuff later.
To get him out.
Pumped the water out so it went down. In about 5 minutes went down and he could breathe and then they worked out how to dig him out. Stuck.
Wow.
When have you been stuck?
I love getting stuck places. Have you ever been stuck? I had a mate of mine got stuck and the thing was in his own car window. He reached in from the outside in, bumped the wind up the window function and got stuck by the arm.
Oh, whoa.
Same thing, yelling and yelling. Finally, only stuck for about 12 or 15 minutes, he reckoned, but still stuck.
Where have other folks been stuck? What have you been stuck in? It can be nature. It can be man-made.
It can be Robin, head.
I got stuck in a lady's dressing room.
Ooh.
As a kid,
little flimsy curtains on them? From
This one had a door, which was also problematic. I used to swim as a kid, and I played water polo, so I have quite broad shoulders.
Yes.
So I tend to be a kind of standard size 8 to 10, but I put this top on because I thought it looked really cool, and I should have known getting it on was really tight. And you get to this point where I was trying to lift the top up and I got it stuck between my shoulders and my head. So it's completely covered and I couldn't move my arm.
You were stuck in clothing?
I was stuck in clothing.
What are you, a puppy?
I know.
Great. What?
But the anxiety, because you can't see, because my arms were stuck up and I couldn't open the door and I was screaming out and no one could hear me and I couldn't unlock the door. But then I would have revealed all my bits because I didn't have any clothes on. So in the end, I just kept putting pressure on it and I broke it. And then I felt really bad, so I bought it.
Yeah, we started this. It excavated. Damn, the bloke nearly died.
You asked me when I got stuck.
You almost broke a price tag off. Is that it?
No, I just broke my top.
It's a stuck story. I hope somebody's got better ones.
Well, BJ's from Gatton. BJ, where'd you get stuck, mate?
Mate, I got stuck in the Dunnies at the Pizza Hut in Toowoomba, all-you-can-eat restaurant. about 10 minutes I was in there.
What? No. I still remember it, mate. Was
I
it
don't
yesterday?
Think you've even got Robin covered there, BJ. In the
mate,
toilet.
I went in there and I locked the door and then I went to unlock it and it just spun and it just kept spinning backwards. I didn't know what to do. I was in there about 10 minutes and then one of the blokes that worked there came in. Anyone stuck in there, you all right? Apparently they knew about it.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah. It's their punishment chamber.
They hadn't done nothing about it. They sort of thought, oh, well, they go in there so they can come out and eat more, and they're not going to come out and eat anymore.
it's quite stressful for a 10-year-old, Lisa.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when there's free pizza outside that door.
Help! Lisa to get back from to the Forest table. Lake. Where'd you get stuck? Lace?
Hey.
Hey, where'd you get stuck?
I got stuck in the downstairs toilet at home for 12 hours.
Not another one.
That's so long.
12 hours?
The hubby turned the lock to the outside of the door so the kids couldn't lock themselves in. Yeah. But someone locked it and I went in the morning when I got up and I sat there all day in my pyjamas.
12 hours.
Who came and got you?
We were having people for tea and when they come in, they just open the door and they're saying, why didn't you ring us? And I mean, the phone's on the outside.
Yeah. did you yell out or anything?
Yeah, but no one can hear you.
Oh, good Lord.
What did you do for 12 hours stuck in a cubicle?
Well, I was sitting there with my husband's fly fishing jacket on because it was cold.
Oh.
But all I did was sit.
Wow.
Had nothing to read.
This place to do it.
No.
Oh, my God.
Start drilling out with my tweezers.
I bet you did.
did you not think about breaking the door?
Couldn't.
She would have tried.
Not a big enough rap.
I thought the tweezers would have done it, though, drilling through the wall.
Wow.
Gee, that's cute, Lisa. All right, here comes Harley very quickly. Where'd you get stuck, Harley?
I got stuck between a sliding door and a vending machine when I was about 6 or 7 years old.
What were you doing between a sliding door and a vending machine?
I saw $20 on the ground, so I tried to bend down and pick it up and someone come through the sliding door and it opened and I got stuck.
What? How long for?
Yeah.
I was stuck there for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Did you get the $20 at the end of it?
Yeah, I got the $20 at least.
That's a good story.
Afterwards.
Wonderful. Guys, we've been talking about the series on the ABC, which you can now see on iView. Ice Wars, we've heard from TC, Tom Carroll, the former world surfing champion whose life was ruined by ice for a number of years. We've heard from families, Robin, that have had family members or themselves addicted to this drug for a number of years and the effect that that's had. We've also heard about there's over 1 million people in Australia that have tried ice at some point. And our next guest is, we're going to remain anonymous, and has quite bravely come forward to talk about their part in this whole thing. Hello, Anonymous.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, we appreciate your time. Now, we know there's something that you want to say before we ask any questions, so take it away.
Yeah, mate. Thanks, guys, for letting me have a chat this morning. Mate, firstly, I'd just like to thank Marto personally, mate, before I get on with it. Listening to you guys in the mornings has been a big help to me over the last 2 years in finding pride in being a tradie again, which has been one of the core elements of my recovery and rehabilitation.
That's unreal.
I'm not a career criminal, which most people think you are when you're involved in the top end of the amphetamine drug trade. Far from it. I was your everyday tradie for 14 years, going to work every day. What changed for me was a development of personal and family issues that I was not able to cope with. At that same time, I just happened to meet up with someone who I hadn't seen in nearly 10 years, and he offered me an easy fix. From that point on, my life spiraled out of control. I got deeper and deeper into the drug scene. My skills as a tradie were used at first to fabricate a lab and then on to actually producing. It got to a point where I was using close to $10,000 worth of methamphetamine a week.
Just to
clarify for you guys, ice is a dirty version of methamphetamine.
Yep. Okay.
But the come down and the effects are much worse. Everything I did to support my habit. Mm. I knew I had to stop, but the thought of stopping was terrifying. I couldn't bring myself to do it. What does it is when you hit rock bottom. That moment when everything falls apart in one moment. It can be many things. The police shutting you down. Your partner leaving you. For me, it was both within a month of each other. Everything I thought the drug had given me, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, was stripped from me. When the dust settled 2 days after the police had gone, I was left with nothing less than the person I was before I started on the drugs. I was a shell of a man whose wife hated him. After a week, I decided to call my dad, who I hadn't spoken to in nearly 2 years, and ask him to put me into rehab. I'm one of the lucky ones whose parents could afford a proper rehab. If it wasn't for the police and my parents, I wouldn't be here today. 2 years of hard work and being clean, I've earned a trust and was allowed to return home. I still have to answer to the courts for what I've done, and I'll go to jail later this year.
So you definitely okay. will.
Yeah, I will. I have to tell myself that. Society has to realise, man, that only 1% or 2% of people in the drug trade make all the money. The majority of the people involved are addicts. Mm. The people at the higher end are the ones with the worst addictions and are doing what they're doing to support a habit. The next thing is most people who turn to drugs do so as a direct response to mental illness. Mm. In my case, it was depression and anxiety. At the end of the day, the answer to our drug problem is education and support, not incarceration. Never touching the stuff is the only way to truly prevent addiction. It's easy to lock people up and forget that they are human and say things like, you do the crime, you do the time, or you shouldn't have done it in the first place and you wouldn't be in this mess. It's much harder to actually care about them and look past the addiction to the core of why they use.
Who offered to you first? Like, how did you get to that? You were just feeling so down, huh?
I used a little bit when I was younger. Yeah. It was part of recreational. I was clean. I didn't use from the age of about 24 to 31. I wasn't dealing with life real well, man.
Oh,
and
God.
Yeah, I'm not proud of what I did or who I am.
I'm proud of you now, though.
Takes a lot of courage to actually bloody come oath. Forward. But, okay, you say that you think you'll do jail time.
Yeah.
How long?
You don't know with the court system, mate. You know, like the judge could look kindly on my rehabilitation and the work I've done
yep.
at the end of the day.
You're doing the right thing now before you get to court to convince someone of that. You're right. Absolutely 100%.
The problem is, though, that if you go back inside, you may be exposed to lots of people who do drugs. Are you worried about
not particularly, because I've been so low, man, not having your wife and your kids and not having any friends and then working and not knowing who you are anymore and then being able to work yourself back into a position where your wife is happy to let you come home and you can live every day with your kids.
You getting back to that stage?
I am back at that stage now, mate.
Oh, so happy for you. That's great.
Yeah, I'm starting to be out of.
Well, listen, Anonymous, we thank you so much for your story today. And this is what it's about. This will help somebody, like you said about Marto talking about being so positive with tradies.
There'll be someone here listening to this who might have tried it twice thinking this is fabulous and they'll go, hold on, I have to stop them. Yeah, you've helped not just one person, you've helped a lot of people this morning.
All right, guys.
Good luck.
Cheers.
Good luck.
Right, thanks, guys.
Remember the old days when radio overnight, the graveyard shift? Here at Triple M for years, it's just been music, wall-to-wall music. On it goes, and then we pop up at 5 or 5.30 and away we go. Well, recently we've had the guy, Luke Boner, who's been coming to us doing talkback, a lot of truckies on, you know, because they're the ones who are up at that hour of night or people who can't sleep. Some days he's a little slow, but this morning I was listening just on 4 o'clock. And he got Paul Murray. I guess it's pre-recorded because you can't tell me Paul Murray gets up at 4 a.m. to do a Triple M cross. But there was some... It caught my ear.
Fun fact. How many people do you think look at the website Pornhub.com every month?
Worldwide or Australia-wide?
Worldwide. What about 1.3 billion? And for those keeping score on their own performance, the average visit is for 9 minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I had to look up what a Pornhub was on my Wikipedia. Launched in Montreal. It is the world's number one pornographic video site.
So, okay, as a chick in this studio, that surprises me.
1.3 billion. How many people are on Earth? Ed, is it 6 billion?
7.
7 billion.
It's 7 billion. The Earth should only have 5, they reckon, and we've got 7.
Oh, listen, let's not get on to too many people on Earth. I just wanted a number.
Sure. So are you surprised, as blokes, are you surprised at that number?
So one in seven every day is going on just that one website.
You're saying, guys, are we getting rid of half the world's population?
Okay,
saying
that's probably a little harsh. No, I mean, I think there would be predominantly more guys, but that was an assumption.
Well, how many people got internet? I'm thinking it's quite obviously only 1.3 billion guys.
That's the exact amount of people that have access to the internet.
Well, what do you think the internet's been built for?
What?
Well, as far as I can tell, it's for puppies and porn. That's about it.
Yeah, that's right. It's the NBN is
they go
for
on for 9
porn.
Minutes.
Is that good or bad?
Okay, you're asking me that question.
Yeah, okay. That's so true.
So have you?
No, it's mainly just, it was just an information piece, just so everyone chews on that.
Okay, so the elephant in the room, boys. Have you been onto Pornhub in the last month? No, oh my God, you've gone silent. Never.
That's why I'm
not,
always
mate.
Asking.
I'll declare not.
I didn't even know where it was.
But that's why I'm always asking to play the long version of American Pie so I can just duck out with my phone.
It's only eight. You got a minute up your sleeve there, mate.
Marto and Rob in the new Triple
A. I do now.
I don't see the point in this, but anyway, because the man who had a television show called The F Word, and also Hell's Kitchen, of course it's Chef Gordon Ramsay, has decided to give up swearing.
Did he have a show called The F Word?
He had a show called The F Word.
Is that his main go?
That
whenever
he's
I saw anything, he'd abuse somebody and be swearing.
Yeah, that's pretty much his whole
gig. That's his act.
His
act is to swear.
So how can he have a life without swearing?
Well,
it's like making Richard Wilkins shave his head. He's nothing without it.
Yeah. He's decided because he's got four kids and they're older now. And
give
you
me
know,
a break.
I don't know. That's
you know
his
that
excuse.
House you live in, kids. This kid, the house that you live in. This is the house the F word built, kids. See that? That's the C word wing that we're working on over there. That's the S word pool that we're all swimming in. Give me a break.
Well, but here's the thing, right? And for anyone who has small children and you know they've heard their parents swear,
enough,
you try and come up with different words.
Fair enough.
Yep. So. Gordon Ramsay's use instead of the F word is fractose. Fractose.
That's terrible.
Let me kick him in the nuts.
Fractosis.
So, that's just so terrible.
Although,
that's
I will
rubbish.
Say this, right, because, you know, I have three teenage boys, and when they were littler, I wasn't great with swearing at times. I used to suggest to them to come up with another word, and typical to my three soccer-loving children, it's FIFA.
FIFA. Well, that is a good swear word.
That's good.
That is a pretty good
FIFA.
Yeah, that's a pretty good swear word, actually.
They used to go fire truck, Kath told me. She grew up in Rocky. Yeah. Fire truck. That's what her parents did. You know, Steve Irwin, dead 10 years, but that wasn't an act at all. That was what his old man got him saying crikey instead of swearing from a very young age.
I didn't know that.
And you take all the cameras away, you take him out of here. I used to go up and see him at the Australia Zoo out the back in his Land Cruiser. And he walks around. It's not an act. He can't possibly have put on an act for that long.
So he didn't swear. He just said crikey.
Ever said swear. And I asked him about it. And old Bob, he was the same thing. You've never heard him swear. And he used to say crikey. And Steve just picked it up.
What are the substitutes that people use? What are some other ones?
You have to. With small children, there must be more than just FIFA.
My kids are now 17, 18. We never had substitute words and we're paying for it. I'm always going, language! And I've got no one but myself to blame.
Ed, you don't swear, do you, or do you? You're not a non-swearer.
I don't massively, but...
I'm going to dispute that. Do you remember October last year?
remember that?
25 minutes to 6 one morning,
right.
You were let one go.
It
did surprise me, though.
Yeah.
We had to go blank for a few seconds. Don't have to dump often
on this show, obviously, when a bad word is said. We have to dump the audio.
Our listeners have got such great discipline, but Ed was...
The only person I've dumped on this show is Ed Cavalli.
That's true. That's true.
And that's unlike you. You're right.
He must have been really cross.
Mark from Cleveland. Mark, okay, give us your swear word substitutes, buddy.
All righty. Well, for 5-6, sounds like for F's sake.
Ah.
So for
5-6.
That's good. Right. And golly gosh, jeez oh my.
Golly gosh, jeez oh my.
Oh, God, how can you?
You're not even angry by the end of saying that, Mark. That's cute. There you go.
That's Ned Flanders right there.
Yeah, it is Ned Flanders.
The only reason you do this is for kids, isn't it?
Well, yeah, unless you want to be laughed at by your friends. Jackie of Deception Bay, what's your replacement swear word?
Hi, I use Smeg from Red Dwarf.
Or in what context? Smeg, that's does right. Know yes. It? Yeah. I do. Yes, that's what they use on that old ABC show, Red Dwarf.
You get it in late at night.
Smeg this, Smeg that. Yeah, that's a good one. There you go. Nice one, Jackie.
Yeah. Does your daughter follow suit, Jackie?
Slowly, she's 8 now, so we've been using it over 8 years, and my son's 5, so they've every now and again they tend to use it.
Good.
It's sort of cute. There you go. Thank you, Jackie.
Clint of Oxley, tell us your replacement swear word.
Similar to the gentleman a couple back, frozen food service we use in the office because some people take offence to us saying FF, psych.
Oh, do they?
Frozen food service.
So we supply products to the food service industry, and that's one that just came up as a substitute.
See, there you go. And now the other thing is your name, Clint, that's often fraught with danger. When
we're reading it
down
on the screen, yeah. Clint.
on Facebook, I put a post. I dine quite often Friday night with my wife Louise at the Oxley Golf Club.
Yeah.
Sorry, forget that one. I drew it left there. Jindalee Golf Club now, sorry.
And
Rick did that for my name tag on the table the other day.
Of course.
You've got to be very careful with the name Clint. Jade from Carolee, have you got a substitute?
Fudge.
That's a classic, isn't it? How many kids you got, Jade?
5.
Oh, fudge. Oh,
fudge.
And does it work? Do they do it?
My 4-year-old, she's sort of picked up a few new words lately. Mm. But my oldest is 17, and, yeah, they're all pretty respectful. So.
She's 5 kids. No more fudging for you, hey, Jade?
Definitely not.
Yeah, you've had your last fudge.
Let's move on to things that affect everybody, something that everyone does. There's a headline on the Nine News last night.
Coles will now restrict the number of items at self-serve checkouts to just 12 in a bid to crack down on theft, which costs the company more than $1 billion a year.
Are you onto this? Did you know about this little self-service area? Everyone, well, not me, and normally I live on the edge of the law. I would have figured I'd be into this if anyone was. They swipe everything as carrots mentality, they're calling it.
Because carrots are so cheap.
Yeah, so what? You put avocados in, it's carrots. You put nectarines in, carrots.
Oh, here's a kilo of macadamia nuts, otherwise known as carrots.
Oh, right. Yes. Is that what's going on? Yeah, so if the person, because there's usually a person standing there watching the 8 or 12 self-serve things, they can't keep an eye on everything.
No, and also because they stuff up all the time that they have to come with their little swipe card and unstuff you.
And while they're doing that,
that's right.
If you're behind them.
That's right.
Oh, that's your distraction, the old distraction.
Yeah.
Does anyone say you get what you deserve? Like they were trying to save money and get rid of checkout chicks and guys.
Yeah, well, you just did, and I'd agree with you. Because bring back more people on the checkouts and then they don't go through. Because I have never, ever gone through that self-serve area without it stuffing up. Like, seriously.
Oh.
Ever. Singularly. So I'm now one of those annoying people that goes through the checkout, but I always shop with the child.
Helpful. You're helpful because you let other people steal behind you. Whenever you're there, then everyone else behind you just goes the carrot option.
Like the what do you call the parrot? The lookout for when there's a crime being committed. That's what you are. You're the side tracker.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Do you always go, you have 3 boys at home shopping for them and you. You'd have a big trolley sometimes. Do you go self-serve then?
No. I always take one of the boys with me. I try and take all 3 because they're constantly whinging that I'm not buying the right food.
Oh, I bet.
So if I'm not buying the right food, boys, come shopping and then you can pick it.
That's so logical.
But there's also another reason why I do that, and that is that I will forever forget stuff on my list. So if I have a kid who's at the checkout putting the things from the trolley onto the conveyor belt, then I can run.
No. I hate those people.
I hate my wife's one of those. I hate that.
Yeah, me and Tiff. I reckon lots of people do that.
So are you like the old pensioner husband, Ed? You stand there while she goes darting up through the aisles.
Yeah, like while I'm getting looks from the people behind us as she comes back with an armful of stuff that she just remembered. Oh, it makes me so uncomfortable.
Why does it make you uncomfortable?
Because you have said what you have. So what you do is when you plonk that down, that is the start of your transaction. You have said, these are the items I would like to buy, Mr. Coles, please. And you've plonked them down to then run away and come back with a series of other ones. Because every item, Robin, is time that you're stealing from the person behind you.
No.
I find that rude.
No. If you've got a big trolley worth of stuff and it's still being stacked on, you can't run. You can't do the bolt if you're down to the last 5 items going through. You have to do the bolt in the beginning of the shopping process.
I hate it.
No, when Steve Smith stands there up in the dressing rooms and says, "We declare, come on in, boys." Yes. He can't 3 minutes later go, oh, hold on, we need another 20 more runs, I reckon, and send him back out. You've declared. You've gone, there it is. Off you go.
I agree. You don't do the shop, do you, Greg?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you?
You call me Greg.
I know, I do.
Occasionally I do.
A bit odd.
And that's how I know about the self-serve, because I only do little shops. I do, Greg, can you pick this up? My wife tells me, Greg, that's what made me nervous. Can you pick this up? So I do the self-serve. And I never get it wrong. I never have to call one of those people.
Hang on,
wrong with you.
I think it might be time for an investigation, Ed.
CSI motto.
On what?
Shopping strategy.
Ah. Okay, let's see. Let's see how many people do the bolts through the aisles like me. I reckon there will be a lot.
CSI motto.
Right. It started with Coles, and it's restricting the number of items at self-serve checkouts to 12 in a bid to slow everyone down who's stealing off them. All right, I'll give you a ruling on this one. And I don't go to the shops all that often, but the other day, woman reading a magazine.
No,
I apologise
to
her because I had a pretty big load. Kath was away, so I did have to do the shopping. Get in there, and I said, oh, sorry. You know, I didn't know. Is that what you're supposed to say to someone? She said, no worries. I'll get through a few extra pages. She was reading, obviously going to read, and I watched
her.
Put it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you allowed to do that?
What? Yeah, definitely.
That's more stealing than grapes, I reckon.
Ooh,
Brett's stealing intellectual property of ridiculous stories.
Brett's from Boondall. Hey, Brett, talk us through your strategy when it comes to the self-serve. You've got a confession to make.
I reckon we're all opportunists. We live in a land of opportunity.
Yes.
If they want to make these outlandish self-serve things, I think we should seize and conquer and put one in the bag and one for you.
Yeah, one for you, one for me. I've seen that take place with the backpackers up at the one near
me.
That is a classic scenario, Brett.
Carrie.
They reckon they factor it into the prices anyway. They factor in theft into their prices.
I don't know.
I'll put that to you.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're backing away from that, are you?
No. I'm just trying. I think they would have to put spoilage into their pricing. I'm not sure if they'd have to do.
What's spoilage?
You know, like the bananas have been on display for 4 days and they need to chuck them in the bin.
They'll be in the freezer for 4 months. Yeah, who cares another day or two?
Anyway.
Karen of Newbeath, what is your grocery strategy?
I take the boys, and then that way I can stay at the cash register and unload slowly and then send them on the running mission of what I've missed.
Okay, how old are your kids?
Two teenagers, and so they're 15, 13, 12 and 10.
Yeah, but don't you get frustrated? I've tried this, right, and I have 16, 14 and 12. It's just that I have to explain it like 400 times, and in the time that I've spent explaining it to them, I could get it quicker.
Well, no, because I think I'm such, this is what we get, you know the brand. Off you go, and if you get it wrong, I'm going to be really cranky.
Threats. That's good stuff.
Karen,
I like it.
Do they ever sneak stuff into the trolley and you get it to the checkout and you go, oh, no way in the world. If you ever have to put stuff back, where do you put it? Just near the chewing gum there, or do you take it back to the right aisle?
No, I give it to the lady at the cash register and say, here you go. Put that back on the shelf for me, will you?
Yeah. Before she goes home, she's got to put all that stuff back in.
Yeah. My kids usually go for the stuff that you're waiting in line. So if there's a long line, I'll end up with 7 Mars bars
and
at the bottom.
There you go. Cheeky devils. Okay.
James.
Yes, how are you?
Hey, good. What is your grocery strategy?
Yeah, I'm ringing up to agree with, once you've started putting your grocery items on the counter, you can't leave. You can't send anyone out.
Good job, mate. That's absolutely right, because it's like a roulette table. It's no more bets. That's your chips. That's your chips on the table. It's no more bets, James.
I don't understand why it's so offensive. What's the problem?
James, you tell her.
Well, most of the time when it happens, when I'm putting the groceries, like waiting, they never come back in time. Usually I'm standing there and the poor lady at the cashier has got to say, oh, sorry, start apologising. It's like, well, it's not your fault. The other person shouldn't have left.
That's right. They don't value your time at all, James.
Can we have one other ruling, James? Anyone chime in? All right, if they don't come back, can you start taking their groceries off the belt back and putting them back in their trolley?
Yes.
Who owns them?
I'd like to.
That's no man's land. They don't own them yet.
Please.
Well, but the problem with that is that the woman at the cashier or the guy at the cashier would be completely mortified because it's all gone rung through the cash register. No, look, I would agree if you're going to do the runner, and that's why when I'm down to 10 items or less, you can't run because you've got to be able to be back in time so that you don't upset other people. I agree with that.
If you, it's a, you know, Aldi's a German company.
Yeah.
They've been toying with the idea of putting in an hour in jail if you leave an arm back in time. Yeah,
have their own
cells.
Jail? Just
just little Aldi holding cells.
No, they're very adamant. They're very, parking. There's just
you know, they're
cell
like
there.
The Germans like order. They don't like people mucking with it.
Huge weekend weather-wise, Ed Cavalier. I mean, hot today, top of 32, but the weekend, Saturday 36, Sunday 39, mate.
Yeah, it's going to be a real swelterer. And our favourite weather expert, Gary Youngbury, Channel 9's weatherman, to give us more details. Morning, Gaz.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Well, we're okay, but we're a little bit of trepidation in the studio. We're already hearing about some kids' sport. Some of Robin's kids' sport has been cancelled. Where is it going to be hottest?
Well, it will be. Let's get the stats out of the way first, okay? Yeah. The important stuff. So far this year, hottest day, January 12th, 35.6.
Yeah.
We'll break that on Saturday with 36, no problem at all.
No,
then on Sunday, we'll smash that with 39 degrees on Sunday. Yeah. But the hottest day ever recorded in Brisbane was back in 2004 with 41.7. So that's Brisbane. But for the western suburbs, a lot of the sport out around Logan and Ipswich area, we could even see 43 degrees there on Sunday. And the hottest day ever recorded was back in 1952, a 65-year record of 42.6. So that is under threat this Sunday.
Hey, guys, that's taken a metre above the ground in a box. In the sun, it's about 65 degrees, isn't it?
Exactly right. Good point. That's where how the temperature officially measured. I mean, often people ring in and say, you know, I was... You know, my back porch at Logan got to, 47 today, so that does happen.
Where is that measured from? That when you say Brisbane, it's not the airport, is it? Is it somewhere in the middle of the city?
There is in the middle of the city. I mean, for Ipswich, it's actually Amberley Air Base as well. So that's why it does vary a little bit, geographically with people's locations. It can vary a degree or two. But as you mentioned, it's a Stevenson's box. It's a ventilated box. It's about 2 metres off the ground. And that, of course, is in the shade.
So when's it going to stop?
Ah, good question. There is a change coming Monday, later on Monday, a southerly. But look, it'll only cool that we might see temperatures get back into the high 20s, 29 forecast for Tuesday. But you know what? We haven't had a day in the 20s for weeks on end. It's been incredible. But it'll sneak back up into the 30s again from Wednesday on.
Well, what a report. I mean, Channel 9 weatherman Gary Youngbury, there's only one way to describe that report, surely, Brendan.
Nice, Gary.
Gary loved it.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Wake up with Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M. Young parents were staying overnight, queuing to get their kids enrolled in Ascot State School.
I didn't tuck shop.
I didn't get it. Tuck shop. Truffles. Truffle oil.
Maybe you get
everything.
Invited to better birthday parties.
Oh, my God.
So if you're in Warner and you want to go to, like, a birthday party.
You want to go to a birthday, get down to Ascot. You should see the fairy bread. My God, it's got flakes of gold in it.
Ed and his wife, Tiff, are expecting their first.
We went to the obstetrician and he's looking in the tummy and there's like a little sack with the baby in it. And he turns to my wife, Tiff, and says, "Oh, that's great. You've got a nice, healthy sack." And I said, "Well, that makes two of us, doesn't it?"
And the theme continued when Israel Folau called in.
He is always on about this, Israel. He's just
Mate, can you imagine Maria Tutaya and Israel Folau's child? Oh, my God.
They'll probably play chess.
No, I don't think so.
A scourge on our streets, the terrible reality of ice hit home.
Nancy of South Brisbane.
Sadly, my son passed away and ice was one of his choice drugs. He was violent with me. It's been just destructive within my family. I mean, to lose a son, that's just not, it's not horrible. Written. And, for all those ones who were dealing it,
I can tell you what I'd like to do with them.
But we also heard from Matt Batsonalis, taking a lonely, previously unknown old man fishing.
Like, this was just an ad he put in Gumtree. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh my God, this is heartbreaking. So I just put the offer out there. He goes, you sure? I'm like, mate, I'm being serious. I want you to come to Queensland and fish with us. We ended up organising an awesome trip over at Stradbroke Island. The whole idea of this was just to see the man smile, and that was it. From then on, it was a little fun.
And Marto kicked off Broncos trivia season for 2017.
Who's captained the Broncos more than anyone else in more games than anyone else?
Darren Lockyer
is incorrect.
What about Alfie?
Alfie.
That is correct. Yeah. Darren Lockyer only 163 games, Alfie 170. Well,
but he can't get himself off. You notice him in State of Origin.
What
he
do you
just,
mean?
He just runs around.
He can't
water.
Get himself off. That's a shame. It's like it's early.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Brisbane's newest breakfast show, back Monday. Download the catch-up now. TripleM.com.au.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.